Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most biased podcast network.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Dusha.
Boys, how many fucking goals are Giants going to win by?
Jesus, repeat of last year. So we, this week in footy, how good's footy?
Here we go, here we go, here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Here we go, here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go.
This week in footy, we were flat on Friday night.
Yeah,
but then Saturday,
I wasn't flat. I was inverted.
Defeated. Inverted.
I was so flat that I was, because going into the game, I was like, "Look, the odds of us winning, it's rich." Oh, it's, you know, I was okay. And then because we're up by halftime, and we weren't just up by halftime, but we were up and about.
Yeah,
I felt the most dangerous emotion of all, boys.
Hope.
And then it was extinguished. And then when we got back within 4 points in the last quarter, I thought, fuck, it's back. And then boys never have hope. It's the cruelest emotion of all.
I know, Tom. We all know. We all had hope.
You don't
own hope, Tom.
In
fact, why are we even talking about Geelong? Let's talk about the good thing that happened.
Saturday, the villains of the AFL defeated the villains of the AFL.
So good.
It's so good.
Up until, I think it was an hour, 40 minutes before the bounce,
yeah.
I think I messaged you guys and I finally came around to supporting GWS because I didn't want to.
Because look, boys, at this point I'd given up on footy for 2019. Mm. I was like, you know what? I can't. And then as soon as you got around, I was like, all the boys are on. Go Giants.
Yeah. I've been on the Giants train since last episode where I realised halfway through, I was like, wait a second.
I love this team.
Still hate Toby Green.
Yeah, but how good's it going to be when he gets suspended for 3 weeks but also wins the Norm Smith?
I do look forward to him kicking 5 goals though.
Do you look forward to him getting booed every touch and knowing that only makes him stronger?
Yeah, that's the thing.
And I think I'll cheer every touch.
And I boo as well. It's what he wants.
He does want it.
It's funny because presumably, so we got tickets to the grand final.
It's happening.
Whoa. We're attending the big dance.
Well done, Toss.
And we'll all be wearing Giants merch. So it's funny to imagine someone in a Giants scarf or beanie booing Toby Green.
But then be like, no, it makes him stronger.
How far are we going merch-wise? We're just going scarf?
Look, I'm not buying a scarf.
Oh.
No. I'm going to wear my How Good's Footy beanie, but I'm going to buy a badge for my boyfriend.
I can't.
Tom.
Phil Davis can't see that badge from the field, mate. He can see orange, though.
As soon as I put the badge on, he'll know.
Tom.
He'll know.
Is it because, are you a bit shaken from last year where you were wearing a West Coast scarf and then a Collingwood supporter almost fought you?
No, that was me.
Oh, that was you.
And I was shaken by that. I
had enough beers that I was like, whatever.
I can dip my toe into supporting the Giants by wearing a badge because I think I can get away with that because the problem. Tom. No, Sean, I have to go to work on Monday and I share an office with two Richmond. The only people in my office are two Richmond supporters.
They'll understand. They'll know that you're not going for Richmond.
They'll cheer your courage when you rock up on Monday after they've just lost the grand final, still wearing your GWS scarf.
Mate, if they win by Monday, I'll just come in the full kit.
I just think footy's more fun. The grand final will be more fun if we're all united.
I'll wear a badge, mate. I just don't think I can wear a scarf.
Tom, have you seen the interview with Dom Sheed? We got him over the line last year. So, Toby Green.
Wear a scarf, Tom. Give it away to a kid at the end of the game. If you don't want to keep it.
I mean, I probably do.
Bloody wear it.
They're soon alone every
I was going to suggest, do we go one further? We're obviously going to be sitting MC, so we have to wear a collared shirt.
Yeah.
Do we go to like the workwear section of Kmart and buy like an orange fluoro tradie shirt?
Would that get us into the MCC?
Does it have a collar? Yeah. That's all you need. That's literally, oh no, wait, you can't wear, no, I wouldn't. You can't wear workwear.
But it's orange.
Yeah, no. But Sean.
This is an outrage.
Sean, it's same as a pub. You go to a pub and you can't, some pubs are like, you can't wear your work gear in the pub after a certain time.
Define workwear. Workwear.
Sean, if we locked up in high-vis stuff, we wouldn't get in.
But it's the colour of the team.
No, I get that, Sean.
This is disgraceful.
Sean, I get it.
It's a polo shirt.
Let's go buy orange polos from Kmart that cost $5.
It's the same shit. That's what I'm talking about.
The workwear would cost more.
$7.
Tops. Yeah.
If I can find a $7 fluoro orange shirt, will you wear it?
Yes, he will.
Yeah, I probably will.
You wear that, but you're saying that we won't get in if we wear it.
No. If you wear like a work brand, like work.
No, it's just a
tradie gear.
What if I brought?
It's a tradie shirt. It's an orange fluoro.
No,
short sleeved. It has a collar.
If it's a tradie shirt, we won't get in. If it's just an orange polo shirt, yes. But if it's any kind of tradie brand of work wear,
a orange polo shirt. It has a collar, is just full orange, and I've written Giants in black text on the front.
Now you'll get in.
Yes. Will they clap me?
No.
Damn it. On the back, it'll just say, I hate Richmond.
Now what I'll do is you guys can do that. I'll wear the Hagrid's footy beanie, and I'll convince a shitload of people to listen to our podcast.
Yeah. We should just take beanies.
Because the beanies are kind of orange from a distance, and Phil Davis will see that and then see him on it, and then he'll come on our show, and I'll get to marry him.
Yeah. Hey, that's all right.
No.
You can't wear that to the footy.
Sean has pulled out a photo.
It's a work. It's clearly a tradie
shirt. Orange fucking polo shirt.
Did you search tradie?
I typed in workwear because that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Just search polo shirt. See if you get an orange polo.
I don't understand the difference. There is no difference. That doesn't have a brand on it.
I just know that they're funny about people wearing tradie gear in the MCC.
Surely they make an exception for the Giants.
No, they won't.
This is VFL Victorian bullshit.
No,
all over again.
It's literally, you could wear that in any other part of the ground, Sean. Just not in the MCC.
Give our tickets away. What a fucking joke.
All right, you don't have to go. We'll go, Dusha.
I want to go.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to take the risk of rocking up in that and seeing what happens?
I'm typing in orange polo.
I did, and guess what comes up?
The workwear?
Yep. High-vis polo shirt.
I'm telling you. That's bullshit if you can't get in wearing that.
You won't be able to get in wearing that.
What if I'm wearing a hoodie over it and they can't see, but they can just see the collar?
Tom, I got to be honest. I literally don't understand this ruling. That is just a polo shirt.
It's not, though.
It's just an orange colored polo shirt.
Don't get me fired.
I'm wearing a fucking polo shirt right now.
That would be fine.
That would get me in. Imagine this in orange.
Yes, that would also get you in.
No,
but
that's
if
it, what that is.
No, that wouldn't get you in.
This is fucking
a
bullshit.
A tradesman brand.
Is that okay?
That is fine. That's fine. That's absolutely fine.
That looks fucking disgusting. That doesn't have a brand on it, though.
Yeah, no, but Dusha, do you get the point I'm trying to make?
I get the point, Tom. Please. I don't understand the point.
Because it's one of the rules. You're not allowed to wear work gear into the thing.
Oh, this is bullshit.
You know what the difference is? So how's this one, Tom?
This looks like a better quality shirt, by the way, than that piece of shit that you're
What about this one?
Yep.
Do you know what the difference there is, Sean?
What?
That shirt's $120.
$154 for this shirt versus your $7 one.
It's fucking bullshit.
It's not Victoria bias. It's classist.
Yes. You were talking about a colonial institution that is an old boys cricket club that didn't allow women until the 80s.
Well, this is good because...
And you're surprised that there is class. Although, to be fair, the MCC is actually egalitarian because anyone can become a member.
Whatever. Who cares?
It's good because he's given a bit of a bit of a stinger for next week because we'll be able to find out if Tom got fired and we got kicked out.
I'll just say I don't know you. I know I will.
I reckon I'll get in wearing that.
Do you want to take the risk?
It's got a collar. I'll tell them to bring up the bylaws.
Well, it's literally like they'll point to the big fucking sign at the front.
It says workwear.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like, I'm barracking I don't work for the Giants.
I'm barracking for the Giants?
Yeah, I'm barracking for the Giants.
And I'll go,
show them my colours.
And they'll be like, Tom, do you know
this?
You're
on the phone.
They'll be like, Tom, do you know this man? And I'll go, no, I don't go for the Giants.
I'll be like, he does. He knows me.
I'll be like, no, I'm a Geelong supporter. Everyone knows I'm a Geelong supporter. I don't know this weird bloke.
I'm just like, what's that badge you're wearing, Tom?
I'll be like, oh, this is for my boyfriend, Phil.
And they'll be like, all right, fine.
And then I'll go, and this is my friend Joel. And Joel, I don't know this man, Sean Carney.
I don't know this man, Sean.
Yeah, correct.
I guess I'm just wearing a scarf then.
Maybe I'll buy a long sleeve Giants jersey. Stay warm. No collar. God damn it.
You can wear a collar underneath.
Yeah, collar under a shirt.
Yeah, that's the classic MCC look, which is collared shirt with a football jersey over the top.
That's what I was wearing on Friday night when my heart was broken into a thousand pieces.
Did a question. All right, follow-up question.
Yep.
I wear a collared shirt.
Yep.
Over the top of it, I wear an orange fluoro singlet.
Yeah.
But it's a workwear singlet.
So it's fine until that last sentence, Sean.
Just don't wear workwear. Don't try to get kicked out. Don't pick a fight at my work, Sean.
Just want to show you a picture.
When I get the tickets, a box comes up that says, you are responsible for your guests at the football. The story I was telling you about my terrible time on Friday night where I had definitely not a member but a guest of a member abusing me for probably 2.5 hours. The member would have been punished for that man's actions, not the guy himself. So, Sean...
It's the same thing.
No,
I'll tell you what. It's the bottom of it, isn't it? That's the trouble.
Yes.
I tucked that into my pants.
You know what, Sean?
Yeah.
All right.
And that's practically a jersey.
Wear a collared shirt though underneath.
Fuck
yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Done deal. That only took a few minutes.
I'm excited to buy that shirt you said no to. I'm just wearing high-waisted jeans so I can tuck the whole black strip in.
So if I buy the polo shirt and tuck it in, that's fine.
Nah, the polo shirt's really obvious that it's tradie.
The tradie element of it, though, is the different colour on the bottom.
Tradie element is everything, to be honest.
It's the colour. It's discrimination against the colour.
No, it's workwear. You can't...
Sorry that the Giants are a non-traditional colour. This is bullshit.
You can wear an orange polo shirt. I've established this. You're just being a nitpicky fuck.
No, I'm going to wear workwear and we'll see what happens.
All right. Any listeners out there, bring a collared shirt, meet us at Gay 2 just for the grand final so that when Sean gets kicked out, you can come and watch it with us.
It's a listener competition. Whoever the first person to find us after Sean has been kicked out can have your ticket.
Do we want to dive into the games at all?
So
do you want to start in order? Do we want me to relive my nightmare?
The prelim finals happened this weekend.
Yep.
One went our way because Collingwood was defeated.
Yep.
One went not our way where Richmond defeated Geelong.
Yeah, look.
How many people were there, Tom?
Which one?
Your one.
94.
How many were Geelong?
4,000, yeah. I reckon. It wasn't very loud.
In all seriousness, though, probably 30? There was
probably 30, yeah. Look, it was mostly Richmond. It was Richmond's home game.
Yeah.
But a few...
Do you reckon you got the partials? The people who...
There was a guy next to us who wasn't... in any gear, and he just leaned over at one stage during the first quarter and was like, I'm backing you boys because I cannot handle this again.
Yeah.
Meaning Richmond winning again. And look, for a half, it looked like I was going to get my miracle on grass.
Yeah. Don't try and steal that.
Again, you can't.
Okay, I looked like I was going to get my win against Richmond.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. My Mason Cox moment, if you will.
Yep.
Unfortunately... Our Mason Cox was Ryan Myers, and he's a lot smaller, and we didn't have our Mason Cox in Tom Hawkins, and unfortunately, they did have their Mason Cox in Tom Lynch.
Yeah. Speaking of Myers, crowd didn't like him, did they?
Crowd didn't like anyone.
The crowd
they booed Danger,
crowd were fine
they
with
booed
him until
Ablett, they booed Myers, they booed Selwood, they booed Tom Stewart when he punched the ball. They booed everyone. The guys behind me abused. Fuck. Okay, this is the thing, right?
Get it off your chest, Tom.
This is the perfect platform, Tom.
I had a pretty good night until halftime, and that's not necessarily because of the way the game went. From halftime, these guys came and sat behind us. Boys, if I had to describe the worst kind of supporter, the following traits, worst kind of supporter. Barrack for Richmond, no. Abusing Geelong players. abusing umpires, abusing Richmond players, abusing Richmond supporters, abusing Geelong supporters, just abusing everyone.
Abusing their own supporters.
Abusing everyone. Just like I'm talking, there was a passage of like there was a point where Tom Lynch was going for a goal that would put them three goals up and basically was clinching, was, you know, going to clinch their spot in a grand final. You think in that moment you'd be like, fuck yeah, Tom Lynch, my team's playing a grand final. No, instead they were abusing Nichols, the umpire who was closest to the wing. So not even watching that, you're a fucking disgrace, you're a cheat, you fucking robbed us every fucking year. That they won the free kick count. They were still yelling.
They were yelling at him for stuff from different years.
They were yelling at him for stuff from different years. They were yelling at him from the 50-meter penalty Danger got in the second quarter, which, to be fair, was there. Give the ball back to the player. Don't give it to Basher Hooley, you fucking idiot.
That's a Hooley fault, not an umpire fault, I thought.
Correct.
Yeah.
Hooley was like, oh, it's my free kick. And Razor was like, Geelong, clearly pointing at Geelong, Danger standing there doing this. And Baker threw the ball to Hooley. And the umpire was like, you idiot, that's a 50.
Yep.
Every day of the week, that's a 50.
Mm. For what it's worth, I thought Ray was much improved.
I thought the umpiring was a lot better,
It's cool. Probably listen to the show.
I think he did. He got a bit of a pep.
Well, I think to be honest, I thought the umpiring across the whole weekend was a lot better. They didn't pay as much. I think maybe the memo went out, hey guys, you overdid it the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Oh, do you think the memo maybe went out, hey guys, we've got the results we wanted, so you can put the whistle away.
Well, to be fair, I saw they actually paid a lot of stuff that was there in the Geelong game for Geelong. Yeah. They paid the stuff that was there for Richmond. There was at no point where I felt a free kick got paid that was not there.
Mm. Richmond might feel differently.
They might.
But Danger took a little bit of a dive at one point.
To be fair, he did
Put a bit of mustard on it.
However, didn't need to put too much mustard on it because Vlosten went from bent arm, straight arm into his back. Yeah. It's a free kick.
Yeah.
And then he went to the goal square, kicked a goal, put us 21 points up going into half time. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, I felt fucking good.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of putting mayo or mustard on something, we need to address the elephant.
Before we do that, can I talk about how fucking good he was?
I am happy to... I was all aboard the Grian Myers train.
Stay on the Grian train.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
I've watched this. I was so excited for him. He was wearing his dad's boots. Boots that his dad made for him specifically for the game.
He had a passage of play where he had four touches and kicked a goal in one passage of play. He got the ball in the back pocket and then he kicked the goal from the 50.
And then Tom.
He was fantastic.
He was amazing.
First year player.
So he's actually a second year player, but first year playing in the seniors.
Well, the shithouse commentary called him a first year player.
He's 19.
Yeah. So, this is the first year he's played, though, isn't it?
Yeah. So he was drafted last year. Not last year, the year before, but didn't play a game at all last year.
Okay.
Played completely in the VFL and then got picked in round one. Has not been dropped. Played every game this year.
That's why he was still eligible for the Rising Star.
Correct. And I think he's been amazing. And looking at him there, I'm like, I'm excited. He's going to be a good player. He's got good footy smarts.
He's got a good brain.
He's got a good footballer's brain. He is a small forward who has always played as a small forward.
What I like about him most, Tom, is how tough he is.
Very tough. Goes in hard. Lays tackles. Kicks great goals. Gets karate chopped in the throat.
Get that look off your face, Joel.
Come
fuck
on,
both
come
of
on,
you.
No, I come
watched,
on,
I watched,
kick me while I'm down, you
was
fuck.
Was it in the third quarter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Third quarter. Basher Hooley, who has form. He has form.
Sean.
His first name is Basher too.
Yeah. Sean.
Joel.
The thing that upsets me the most about this, and the reason it came up on my radar so hard, do you know what this fucking, we'll call it what it is, dive happened?
No. Wasn't a dive.
Okay.
I'm willing to concede Danger took a bit of a dive.
He did. He took a bit of a
whoo. But it was there.
Grian got clipped.
Got clipped.
Okay.
And you were sounding like Brian Taylor and the rest of Channel 7 who immediately went after him, which I thought was fucking despicable.
Now,
clearly got clipped.
Gonna put it out there.
Yeah.
Very similar to how Schofield got clipped and went down.
Mm-hmm.
Did they go into bat for Tommy Hawkins?
Tom. Wasn't similar.
Oh, look, Tommy Hawkins punched a guy in the head. Yeah.
Well off the ball.
And
Tom. Tom.
Basher
Although, do you know what was similar
Tom,
to?
You're not helping us.
Do you know what was similar to? It was similar to G. Ablett against North Melbourne.
No.
No, he got off the ground.
And also
and made like 100% connection.
So, do you know what Basher Hooley did? A very standard shove. The thing is that Grian Myers shrugged it off. And so his arm went up and he clipped his neck. I reckon
neck and chin.
I think it hit him in the throat.
Yeah.
I don't think it got him in the chin. I think it genuinely got him in his Adam's apple, and I think it stunned him a little bit.
That's still high.
I think it hit him in the side of the neck. I've seen this footage.
And you know what?
Still high.
Still high. Free kick.
But
should have been a free kick.
It's the same as ducking into a high tackle.
No, it's not.
No, because he lifted his arm.
Yeah, that's not it, but they pay those.
Yeah, he didn't lower himself.
It's if you drop your knees and your head.
Yeah, he lifted his arm.
He tried to push him off.
Basher got it wrong because he's a small guy.
Yeah.
And to be fair, later in the game, Basher actually came up to him, and there's a photo of him just like patting him on the back like, are you okay?
Yeah. / I hope I don't miss a grand final.
Now, I don't think he was ever going to get reported.
If it was Toby Green.
And I don't think he was ever going to get suspended. But I genuinely think all these people who then booed Myers and said he took a dive, I think he actually heard him because afterwards, for about 5 minutes of play, the ball wasn't near him. The umpires weren't near him. One of the medical guys actually came out to him because he kept holding onto his throat. I think he was genuinely just a little bit.
Tom, did it come off the green?
No, he didn't come off the ground.
Because he's tough.
Yeah.
Big hero.
Do you know what would happen if they were concerned that someone had been punched in the throat? They'd pull them off because that is a dangerous thing to happen to someone.
He pushed the medical guys away.
Yep, which means that he was fine.
He didn't look fine.
It's a failure of the Geelong medical team.
I'd be sacking the doctors at Geelong.
Yeah. And also, Tom, if you overreact to something and then get booed for it,
yep,
and then spend the next 5 minutes being like, no, I'm still holding it because I promise I'm still sore, that doesn't prove shit. Everyone does that.
I'll tell you what proved shit. The multiple angles that I looked at and went, yeah, he got clipped.
I'm not saying there was, at first I was like, wow, he only hit his hair. But then I watched it from a whole bunch of different angles.
He did hit him in the neck.
But nowhere near hard enough.
You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know that, mate. Basher Hall is fucking strong.
Come over here. I'll hit you in the neck. See what happens.
No, okay. So you push my arm. I'll shrug it off so that the push clips my neck.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. You know what'll happen? I'll be like, ah. And then I'll just be fine.
Hey, Sean, give me a knife. I'll push him and he'll shrug him up and I'll cut his throat.
I won't fucking lie.
Don't come for my boy.
I won't lie face down on the fucking MCG.
He's just a kid, Dusha.
Don't come for my boy.
The thing that makes me don't come for my boy.
Do you know what? Dusha loves Kyle Hooker because he loves picking on 18-year-olds.
Oh, mate.
Big fuckhead over here.
You love Toby Green. Oh. You love it.
Thug.
You love Basher.
Because
he's a Basher.
I mean, love Basher.
This is the thing. I also like Basher. Yeah, I thought he had a really good game on the weekend.
He's had two bad moments.
Two bad moments. And I think this one
was nowhere near as bad as the other.
Like, he's actually a good bloke. He made a mistake. He apologised to Grine afterwards. I think Grine was genuinely hurt. I don't think Grine deserved the abuse that he copped from every Richmond supporter forever.
He just got the angles wrong. That's all.
Yeah.
It's an angles game.
Yeah.
The thing that disgusted me with this, though, is because that dive signified his loss of belief. Geelong had kind of started to shit the bed, and then he went for tried to get a free kick to try and change momentum. That was disgusting because he was like one of the best players on the ground for the first half.
We still believed because we then got within 4 points and we were trying desperately to find a marking target inside our forward 50, but unfortunately he was suspended for a week.
For punching someone off the ball.
And like, fair. I genuinely think there's a lot of people who are saying Chris Scott cost us the game, or the players didn't play well enough. I genuinely think Geelong played really well for the first half. Richmond lifted into another gear and Geelong just could not match them.
Geelong played well in spite of Chris shit coaching moves.
Yeah.
Why did Blitzarves not play on Tom Lynch?
Because it's the same thing they did last week against Kennedy and Darling.
Dumb as shit. Tom Lynch kicked 5 goals. It was the difference. Why? You've got the guy who – basically there was a point this year, fairly late in the year, where Blitzarves should have been the All-Australian fullback.
Yep.
And then Chris Scott just fucking cooked it.
The issue is though, who else are you going to put on the wing to replace?
Is he a backman? Does he play on the wing?
Well, he played on the wing last week and we won, and he played a pretty good role.
I feel like the logic behind him being on the wing is like, oh, he can run.
Well, then, but the issue was we didn't have Mitch Duncan, right? If you have Duncan, Blitz is playing in the back line. Who plays on the wing for Duncan then?
Any one of your midfielders.
Yeah, but none of them have the aerobic capacity to play out there for the whole game.
No one's got the same aerobic capacity as bloody Blitzarves. But I feel he's a waste.
Do you know what?
Touches did he have? Did he have much influence?
I think 15, maybe.
Piss weak. Put someone who can actually accumulate.
Shanked
the ball.
A kick in the second quarter.
All I'm saying is he's your best defender.
Yep.
I mean, Tom Stewart's a fucking gun as well. But Blitzarves is your best for a Tom Lynch type opponent.
Probably.
I would have played on him.
I've seen this
5 goals might have been 2 goals, and maybe you win the game.
I've seen this thought. This has been floating around because Chris Scott, he also did it in the fucking qualifying final.
Well, that's where I think we lost actually the opportunity to play in a grand final is we should have won that first one and should never been playing Richmond in the prelim.
So Xavier Alice, who I forget, he's a comp, no, he's
played for Hawthorn and West Coast.
Yep. So
premiership player.
Yeah, pretty big on Twitter.
I'm a big fan of him actually on Twitter.
I love him too.
Great bloke.
So he
second best boundary rider in the comp.
Yeah.
The number one is of course Gilbert.
Yeah.
Oh, Daisy Pearce is pretty fucking good actually. Yeah. So he's probably the third best. Three. It's probably Gilbert, Daisy, and I'm only putting Gilbert up there because I just love Gilbert.
I hope Gilbert's on grand final.
Maybe we'll see him.
It'll be Richo.
Maybe we'll get to meet him.
It'll be Richo.
Imagine if we meet Gilly.
That'll make up for having to look at Wayne Carey last year. Is he doing the grand final?
He probably will be.
That is a fucking disgrace.
He'll be part of the team.
How the fuck? Oh.
Tom.
Oh.
Grand final will be Bruce and BT and then probably Richo, Lingy and
Wayne.
One more.
Maybe Hodge. Daisy?
Nah, they won't.
Pick Hodge over Daisy.
Bartel maybe?
Yeah, Jimmy.
So Xavier Ellis tweeted, has me absolutely fucked why Dangerfield went forward after 18 in the first half and a lead. And this, yeah, sure, that's a questionable coaching decision. But then he just had a reply that is a thought that's been floating around a lot. Because Chris Scott wants to make all these miracle moves and be known as the reason they win. He's a full peanut.
I agree with that. I think there is an element of, and that's what happened in that Collingwood game. He tried to have a coaching masterstroke when he could have just put him out there. However, I think also Dangerfield was playing a little bit forward because I genuinely think he's sore. There was all the rumours last week about West Coast. I think he was a bit proppy. Also, we needed a marking target.
I don't know. I feel like if you're sore, mate, just jab up at halftime and get through it.
It may have been a case of we need a marking target up forward.
Do you want to play in a premiership or not, Dangerfield?
Yeah, no. But
he absolutely cooked it. I
also think that they were looking for a marking target because Richmond started getting on top. We didn't have Hawkins. Henderson is not a forward. Mm. Sav was doing everything right. I thought Sav had a great game, brought the ball to ground for the smalls. But the issue was we had no Rowan, we had no Hawkins, we had no targets up forward. So you have to rob Peter to pay Paul, and we're always fucked.
Can we grill you with some hard questions about next year?
Why? I'm really vulnerable.
Gone.
I think I saw his last game on the
Harry
weekend.
Harry Taylor?
I think I saw his last
gone.
Game on the weekend.
Tim Kelly, gone.
Do you know why I know he's gone? Did you see him, like, the emotion on that man's face when the siren went and Joel Selwood gave him the biggest hug? Because I think every player knows that he loves Geelong, but he can't stay.
Doesn't love him enough, though, does he?
I think genuinely there's some real problems. Not problems. Just from reading the newspaper, I believe one of his kids is autistic and the other one has severe learning difficulties and it's just easier for the support network at home. Yep. And I get that. I absolutely do. And I do not begrudge him. He played the
amazing,
incredible performance. Like 3 goals, 30 touches.
Yep.
I think just to talk some positives before you grill me and I cry, I thought Grine was really good. Fuck you, Joel. I thought Tim Kelly
was good.
Really good.
Joel did say that he was a fantastic player.
All right. I take that back.
He was Grine just weak as piss. Won me over. I was on the Grine train.
Okay.
And then I fell off.
Well, he'll get you back on.
Well,
I think you didn't fall off. Bashahuli bumped you off, but that's fine.
Well, derailed, really.
See, the thing is, I was on the Grind train and the Bashahuli train all game because I was like, fuck, I've totally forgot how good Bashahuli is. I also forgot that he played for Essendon and we traded him. He could barely get a game for us.
Yeah, that sounds like Essendon.
Yeah, mismanaged.
Yeah. Anyway, so Grind was amazing, I thought.
Anyway, I was on both trains and then one train got me to the end. The other one stopped halfway.
Kelly was fucking brilliant.
Yep.
I thought Joel Selwood had a really good game, just trying again to get his team, get us over the line. Tom Stewart, fucking brilliant, played really well. And I thought Jake Collar-Jasny. So I was reading like the AFL.com did like reviews of players. Yep. They gave Collar-Jasny 5, right, out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a lot of possessions, didn't do much. How many goals Jack Rewald kick?
0 goals, 3.
Guess who he was playing on? Collar-Jasny kept Jack Rewalt
for the whole game.
For the whole game. Mm. Kept him goalless. Kept Kennedy and Darling to fuck all last week.
I do feel like Rewalt played a bit of a decoy sort of role.
Sure, but I think Collar-Jasny was actually, and in the coaches' votes, he actually got 1 coaches' vote.
Did he?
So I thought he played a huge game. I thought he was really good. He took some great marks. And I think he's being rated as though he's like Stewart, but he's not. He's the player who shuts an opponent down, takes a crucial mark here and there. He's not the rebounder. I thought O'Connor was good.
Sorry, just quickly back on the Collar-Jasny thing. Rewalt played poorly, but I wouldn't say he played poorly because he had a good defender on him. He missed. He could have easily kicked two or three goals.
Well, no, didn't take his chances. To be fair, the shots that he was taking, though, he wasn't in good spots to take them.
Set up a couple more. And again, I really do feel like it was a decoy thing.
Can you fuck off? I thought Cole Chesney had a really good game.
It wasn't really good. It was okay.
I don't think
so. It was probably about a five.
No, I don't think so.
You're right. It was probably a six.
Yeah.
I think it was a seven.
Okay.
I think he was our, besides Stewart, he was our best defender.
Yeah, we'll meet in the middle, say five.
How are you being mean?
I'm not being mean.
You are.
Geelong have had a fantastic year.
Yeah.
Obviously on this show, we've said the window's wide open all year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which actually leads me into my next question, Tom.
No, before you do that, the other thing too is if you don't have time to review the entire season and you want to know how Geelong went as a club for the year, just watch this game. Brilliant first half. We didn't win a consecutive game of football since the bye.
Shambolic, really.
How insane is that?
The position you were in, I think 11-1, is that right?
Yep. We still finished on top.
Really should be winning a premiership.
We shouldn't have been playing Richmond in a prelim. We should have beaten Collingwood in the first week.
It wouldn't matter though. You'd have to face Richmond in the grand final anyway.
Which, that's fine. Bring it on. Different.
Just
no home crown advantage then. It's a pretty even split.
Quickly, just like this isn't just off Geelong for a second, but we'll come back because I have a very important question to ask you.
Duncan Rowan, a fit Hawkins, doesn't get suspended for a week.
Yeah, he probably does. He'll do something else dumb.
Punching someone off the ball in a final is a risky move. Mm. Anyway. When was the last time the best team of a year won the grand final?
Good question, Joel. That's a fantastic question.
Because last year
was Richmond. They did not win.
No, last year was West Coast, and they were not top. They were not number top team.
No, honest, Tom.
Oh, right. No, okay. No, I got you. No, I understand. I understand.
So yes,
I thought you'd skipped a year back.
Previous year, I would probably say Adelaide were the best team during the season.
Yep.
And Richmond won it.
Well, no, literally, statistically, the team that's ranked number one, I don't think a team who finished first on the ladder has won since, I want to say, for a while.
It wouldn't have, it definitely was not the Bulldogs.
One of the Hawthorn years or one of the Geelong?
No, not any of the Geelong years. Geelong was never first when we've won our premierships. We were second.
Going well back, Brisbane was never first. I mean, first isn't necessarily.
Yeah,
it's the best team. Like
Brisbane,
Richmond are the best team this year, and they finished
fourth. Their bye form has been unreal. They've won 10 in a row.
Yeah.
However, they've played 8 of those 10 at the MCG.
That is relevant. However, they're a Melbourne team, as is over half the competition. So some of those games have to be at the MCG.
Absolutely. Stagger them out a bit.
Yeah.
Don't give them 8 in a row.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Make them travel at least every second week. It's fucked. Absolutely fucked that they got that.
You can't.
And they're not.
Richmond, and they're never going to have a draw where they travel every second week.
No, but let them travel a bit more.
Don't give them 8 games in a row. At least
don't give them 8 games in a row.
Mate, you don't have to complain about the draw to me.
No, I know. I understand. Yeah. I mean, we should have played Collingwood in Geelong.
West Coast.
Right. Would have beaten them too.
Yep.
Still would have lost to Richmond in the grand final.
Yeah, that's okay though. At least you would have got there.
All right, Tom.
That's if Richmond, got past fucking the Giants.
Who won in 2015? Oh, that was Hawthorn, wasn't it? No.
Yep.
Yep.
They didn't finish top.
13, 14, 15 was Hawthorn.
So 15, Freo finished
but
first.
Tom,
and bombed
doesn't,
down
top
straight
doesn't
sets.
Really matter. Hawthorn were probably the best team those years.
Yeah.
Maybe not every year, but.
No, Hawthorn were probably the best team in the finals. They often, well, like.
Obviously they were.
No, but like, so the year they beat Freo, Freo were the best team all year.
Were they?
The year they beat West Coast had a really good year. The year they beat Sydney were probably the best team all year.
I can't remember back, to be honest.
That
wouldn't surprise me.
I genuinely.
But yeah, your point is super valid. It doesn't matter who's the best team all year. As the Giants are showing.
You just got to win 4 weeks,
just got to turn it on in September.
That's it. What's your fucking hard, rude questions?
What do you reckon it is? No, we've asked most of them.
No, come on.
So, Tom, going forward, is the window shut?
No.
I think it is.
Absolutely not.
Tom, losing your second best player, Tim Kelly?
Yep. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Losing your third best player, Gary Ablett?
No, I wouldn't say he's our third best.
Oh, he's pretty good though.
He's very good. All right, he's exceptionally good, right? There is no one to replace Gary Ablett, but I don't think losing Gary Ablett closes our window.
I'd go as far as to call him the little master.
Sure.
Son of God, even.
The difference here, though, is
Harry Taylor, defensive stalwart for
years. Yes, however, I think we've managed to rebuild. You know what actually Harry Taylor retiring means? Chris Scott can't fuck around by playing blitz halves anywhere else on the ground. He has to play him in the back line.
I guess that is sort of a positive.
I mean,
he'll still find a way to impose himself on losses.
Yeah, that's the annoying thing. You've got like, so most teams have 18 players on the park, 4 on the bench and a coach. You've got 19 players on the park, 4 on the bench and no coach because the coach has put himself on the ground and just loves turning the ball over with fucked decisions.
It's a pretty good call.
I mean, look, I'm not going to cop it. I'm a big defender of Chris Scott, and I will continue. He made a big mistake in the qualifying final, but I think he did everything he could have in the prelim.
And blitz halves.
Well, no, but blitz halves, we were winning, and blitz halves were playing on the wing.
But ultimately...
And Lynch kicked 3.
Lynch kicked 5.
Lynch only kicked 2 more for the rest of the game.
But he hit 5 goals.
Yeah, but he kicked 3, and then we started to
but
win.
But if you play your best guy on him, maybe he doesn't kick any.
Sure, whatever. We still need.
Not a whatever. It's the difference between winning and losing.
The difference between winning and losing is we didn't have anyone who could kick our goals for us in the second half. We missed Tom Hawkins so much.
Well, that's his fault.
Exactly.
Yeah. Big dumb idiot, really.
Correct.
And partly Geelong's fault. Curb that aggression. How many times does that have to happen?
We'll spend the entire. This is why the window's not closed.
Tom will spend the
entire offseason stewing on the fact that he was at fault and then he'll kick 10 goals every week.
Maybe you've got one more year. Maybe.
Well, here's the thing, right? I think the window's not shut because there are so many young guys who've shown that they're really good to keep going. So you've still got...
How many home... You're going to have your, what, 10 home games?
8 to 9.
So you'll bank 8 wins probably there.
Yep.
Probably going to make... It'll be the same as every year. You'll make finals, but, you know.
I think there is...
Like Chris Scott, he's the best home and away coach probably.
So he is. He's got the best record.
Yeah, but doesn't mean anything.
I think the window's not shut because Charlie Constable's going to stay and get more time. Mackay Cockatoo might get if Cockatoo gets fit.
How many times have we heard that sentence?
If Cockatoo gets fit,
every second week that this show has existed.
If Cockatoo gets fit, there's your Tim Kelly replacement.
Not the same impact, I'm afraid.
Well, no, but he can play that similar role.
He could become that player, but he's not.
Tom.
Yes.
Was not the bye the moment the window slam shot?
Which buy?
The mid-season buy.
The mid-season buy. The one where your team, the wheels totally fell off, and if you weren't 10-1, you would not have finished top 4.
The weather changed. Chris Scott closed it up.
I think the window was still open when we...
And then it got jammed and he couldn't open it.
We were fucking 20 points up against Richmond at halftime, the window was well and truly open.
No, but to be honest, like Richmond came out and within 2.5 minutes of that third quarter, I think I went, oh, God, they're on.
Yep.
Yeah. We got back within four points.
We got back within 4 points.
What do you mean? When did that happen?
In the last quarter, we got within 4 points.
What'd you kick? One goal.
Mm-hmm. They kicked the first goal. We kicked another goal and got back within 4 points. And it was like that for 5 minutes.
Then guess what happened?
For 5 minutes.
Hey, why are you being fucks?
Tom, I don't know. It's just
How come we're allowed to enjoy your boundless, mathematical, impossibly fucking...
Because Brisbane are a wild ride.
Hang on,
mate.
If I'm a big fucking tease, what's this team over here?
Absolute anxiety-ridden mess.
Yeah, but they didn't win 11-1 and promised the world.
Yeah, well,
they promised a wild ride.
Tom, we'll win 25 games next year.
Do you know what the difference is, Tom?
What?
Arrogance.
Where? I'm not arrogant.
Not now, you're not.
No, I'm confident. Well, bring it on.
Shouldn't be.
Window's wide open.
Wide open?
Yep. You know why? Garrett will retire, and 3 days later, he'll come back.
I'd argue that probably weakens your team.
I think he's finished, but I still think
symbolic moment was Cochin just wanted the ball more than Gary.
That kick from Cochin was insane.
That whole contest, like Gary just...
I think that
rightly hung his head in shame.
The thing that fucking annoyed me about the game was how in all the read-ups later and in the fan review, Dusty was named best player. He wasn't even the best player for Richmond. Basher Hooley or Prestia. Prestia started winning the ball out of the middle.
Yeah, Prestia just quietly goes about
five goals.
Hear me out. Matt DeBoer is not playing on Dustin Martin or Trent Cotch on the weekend. He's playing on Dion Prestia.
Well, he might, but he'll probably go Martin, I would think.
I wouldn't. Fuck no.
Why wouldn't you?
Because if I'm Damien Hardwick, I drag Matt DeBoer to fucking full forward. No fucking way.
But that happens, though. He'll play Prestia. When Dusty's in the middle, he'll have DeBoer.
No, I think DeBoer plays on Prestia. No,
I'm not sure.
What do you think DeBoer plays on Martin? Because he knows he can get under his skin. Because he elbowed him in the back of the head.
He killed him last time.
And then as soon as he goes forward.
DeBoer goes to your best player. Who's your best player? Dustin Martin.
Yeah, probably.
When he goes to the goal square, they'll change it up, obviously.
Phil Davis
goes to the square. When he's in the engine, you stop him.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you want to talk about Giants Collingwood? Because I don't want to hear any more rude questions about how much you hate my team and aren't my friends.
Tom, they're not rude questions.
It's fine. I'll just get you guys grand final tickets. And
in the cold light of day, you'll look back at them and go, they weren't rude. They were just being good boys.
No, I won't.
Asking the tough questions.
I'll go home and be like, go on Google. Hey, Google, how do I get new friends?
Tom, you know, the only thing that matters.
I'll go on Bumble for
the
friends.
The only thing that matters, Tom.
Frumble.
Is if you believe.
I do.
Well, there you go. Man, don't worry about us, mate. Don't worry about us. We're big fuckwits.
Yeah, yeah, right.
We're dumb morons.
Yeah, okay. Idiots.
We're big fucking idiots.
The dumbest people you've ever met.
Yeah, right. It's true.
Dusha, we're fucking prophets, mate. Yeah, fucking. At the start of the year, did I not say Brisbane would finish fifth?
Hey,
did I not? Hey, did Sean. I not say to you? Did I not message you guys during the game, the Giants game, and say, "Geez, it'd be fucking great if Collingwood kick the next five and lose narrowly."
I was just about to say, Sean, you are a prophet because of that very reason. Because in the next game, boy oh boy,
actually, just before we get into this, so I was watching the post game for Richmond and Geelong, and Eddie McGuire was on the Fox Footy desk.
Yeah. Oh.
And so he decided to Eddie decided to be a fucking wild card.
He's saying Eddie decided to be Eddie.
Yes. So he was sitting on the edge of a table, like a bench. Not the bench, what's it called? Fox Footy.
Yeah, just the desk. Desk. Yep.
Sitting on the edge of the desk, and there was they'd framed it so that there was Richmond supporters standing on the stairs next to them. And he decided to just grab his microphone, wander up, and ask
wild.
Ask just a random guy how he thought about next week. And the guy's response was, yeah, I can't wait to beat GWS in the grand final. And Eddie hit him in the face with the microphone.
I've got
to
be honest. Did you
No, I didn't see it.
He didn't smash it.
I didn't want smacking it.
With a bit of force, pushed it up into his face. And the guy went back. And then Eddie walked away having a laugh.
Imagine if he chipped that guy's tooth.
Eddie shouldn't do that. It was pretty bad.
It's that thing where Eddie can't separate being Eddie, the man who loves Collingwood, and Eddie who has to have media duties, which is why he shouldn't have media duties.
Didn't like the look of it, Dusha.
No, do you know what?
Give him a week. dangerous and unnecessary contact to the eye region. 1 week.
It was,
He's already got a week off.
He went and sat back down and the guys working with him were just like, you were asking for it, mate.
And then they went to an ad break, then came back and they'd framed it so that it was just so that when they could come back into the shot, there was Richmond supporters cheering behind the desk. Then they started chanting, "We hate Collingwood."
Oh, do you know what? Eddie, you went out to the universe and the universe went, "Hey, Eddie, fuck you." Because then tomorrow we got, this made me love footy again. Because there's nothing like tomorrow, you lose the prelim, you're flat as a tack, and then a team that you hate also loses and you immediately feel 1,000 times better. Mm-hmm. It was good. So there are so many good storylines about this win too.
Yeah. It was – so this, Tom, unfortunately, unlike the qualifying final where a coaching decision cost the game, GWS, Leon Cameron made an incredible decision in the last quarter and won the game.
Yep.
GWS, it was a really wet and awful day. First two quarters were very uneventful. It was the lowest score at halftime in a prelim final since 1915.
Pretty even.
1915 or something. It was 3-2 to 2-5. In the third quarter, GWS came out and kicked 5-2 to Collingwood's 3 behinds.
Oh, that's right. Collingwood sucked.
It was beautiful.
And with every goal, I was like, is this happening? Are GWS going to the grand final? But then, fourth quarter started. And
fourth quarter started. Cameron got the first goal of the quarter.
Oh, that's right.
Put him up by 32 points.
And then they kicked a behind, so the big lead was 33. I would like to
know. The commentary at that point from Luke Darcy when Cameron kicked the goal was, the Giants are going to the grand final.
Well, how many Collingwood supporters went home at that point?
Oh, stacks.
I heard a lot of people try to get back in.
Yeah,
when they kicked a couple.
Do you know what I love? I love that so much. Mm. It just come on, stay. Yeah. I knew when there was about 5 minutes to go, Richmond had kicked a third goal. I thought to myself, I don't think we're coming back from this. But I stayed till the siren.
Oh, you got to stay.
You got to stay. I was getting abused and heckled. I nearly got that man's membership taken off him, but I stayed.
Well, you'd cop it worse if you left.
Yeah, I absolutely. And then I probably would have punched someone. Probably would have meant my dad would have been in jail.
I was at a Brisbane Hawthorne game once and we were getting killed and some guy left early, halfway through the last quarter, and the Hawthorne fans absolutely gave it to him. And there's a big guy, this Brisbane guy, and he just eyeballed them and said, "Oi, fuck you!" And then just walked out.
Did they shut up?
They did.
Good.
Yeah.
That man's a hero.
The opposite happened at Adelaide Oval, but I felt like that I was in enemy territory, so it was funnier. when
Essendon... Oh, yeah, when you're the away side. If I had been at that Richmond-Geelong game and Geelong were, like, running away with it and Richmond fans had started leaving, where are you going? Where are you going?
Would you, though? I don't think you would, Tom.
No, I'm not that kind of person. No. Internal,
inside, you would have been like, fuck yeah.
What I would have done is I just would have cheered harder, which is what I did. So anytime Geelong did anything and these fuckheads were going off behind me, I just cheered it more.
See, yeah, I don't really boo, but I do clap mistakes. Like, love clapping a behind.
I clapped a great punch out on the full, and then Richmond did – the mouthy guy behind me was like, imagine being such a fucking loser, you clap anything. Are these guys
direct?
Geelong, are they not to us, just to his mate, but loud enough that we could hear him. Was like, you know, it's like, what? Who else does that? Oh, shitty Melbourne supporters. Yeah, they clap everything. Oh, I guess know, it's shitty. So then the next passage of play, they did something like a smother, and he decided to clap between my dad and my's head.
Tom, when it's that, when it's personal.
So then I turned around immediately and I went, mate, what the fuck, mate? What are you doing? I said, you know, there's no need for that. He goes, I'm just cheering. I'm just having, I can clap too, mate. I'm like, you're being aggressive and you need to calm down. This is the footy. There are a lot of people around here. You don't need to do that. And his mate put an arm across his friend and was like, yeah, nah, mate.
He's the member.
Absolutely. He's the member.
What was Terrence's reaction here?
I turned back around and Dad was like.
Tom, you should have taken that membership.
If you had done one more.
I didn't realize you had the power to do that.
Oh, I could have, yeah.
You're like an undercover cop, Tom.
I am an undercover 100%, cop.
100%. Mate, grand final day.
The only
look
issue
out,
was.
Richmond.
The only issue was I didn't want him to be like, you're just salty because your team's lost.
Who cares? He's getting kicked out of the footy.
He was. They were actually the worst supporters I've ever experienced in the time that I've ever been at the footy. They booed everything.
If you had your time again, would you take that membership?
Absolutely, yeah, 100%.
So next time you know what to do.
I think I also just got disheartened because my team was losing.
Yeah.
If we'd have kicked a goal and got close, if we'd have hit the front and then he started, I would have turned around straight away and been like, give me your membership.
I don't think he would have given it to you.
Well, no, I would have pulled my ID out and be like.
Terrence would have had to fly over the top and throw one.
Well, no, because I would have then put my ID on, called the security and be like, hey, we need to just kick these guys out. They're being really aggressive.
No, Terrence wouldn't throw one. He's going to protect the soft hands.
Well, so. I reckon that the softest hands in the game would have been very firm that day.
Yeah, look. Anyway, back to the Giants game. But that's what I was dealing with on Friday night. Mm. It was deplorable.
I love that you have this power, Tom. It's great.
Again, I have no problem with like getting angry and passionate and enjoying a game of footy, but there is a line, and the line is you don't make anyone else feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm not making anyone feel uncomfortable and GWS are up by like 6 goals, can I just become unbearably obnoxious about clapping everything?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because it's your team. You're not directing it at anyone else.
GWS,
you're not clapping behind
team.
Someone's head. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm not being like, yeah, see you later, idiots.
Yeah, yeah. You're not doing that.
Clapping like, next to your face.
Well, that's why I turned around. Because I was like, you nearly hit me in the side of the head.
Your ID card does have your photo on it.
Yep, and mine.
So I couldn't, for instance, this weekend, use your ID and be like, oi. Give me a membership card. You're out.
Nah,
you can't become a cop.
Nah, because you'd also have to put your name to the report getting the guy kicked out.
That's really disappointing. Can any MCC member do that?
Yep, you can go. So you can go
show
to a staff.
Your MCC card.
No. You can. You'd have to go to a staff member and be like, "There's people seat this seat being aggressive."
Like anyone can do that, though.
The thing about them too is I knew that they were visitors because they both had brand new Richmond polo shirts on because they'd arrived without a fucking polo shirt and had to buy one out front.
That's funny.
You're talking $80 there, I reckon.
Yep.
Cop that.
Oh, they were just the worst, and they're the worst kind of supporter. This is the thing, like. Richmond supporters can be overbearing, but the guys in front of us were nuts and overbearing, but they weren't fuckheads.
Yeah.
The guys behind us were the worst kind of fuckhead.
Yep.
Anyway, back to the Giants game. Speaking of worst kind of fuckheads, fuck yeah, Giants.
Fuck yeah, Giants.
Worst kind of fuckheads, the guys in charge of the review thing.
Oh. Imagine cooking it, right? You bring it in for the finders. And to be fair, I felt that it actually had been really good in the finals. They explained the decisions, similar to the cricket, so you know what's going on. Fucked it. Completely. Like, I could – that was so touched that old mate's hand bent back and hit Zach Tui's goal, which was still bending from week one. That, like
– It was
imagine cooking
touched.
It.
Well –
And they're like, oh, you know, the AFL came out and said it was wrong, but that it was still the right what they did. They made the right call on the day. No. Just look, it's okay. Gil.
It's not okay, though.
No. But it's okay if you made a mistake and then you went, look, we got it wrong. Don't go, we got it wrong, but actually they were still right. So, haha, fuck you. We never get anything wrong. Just own it. You made a mistake. You've got a new system. It's going to have, there's going to be mistakes.
Tom.
Yes.
I'm happy they made that mistake because it's easy to point at that and be like, they wanted Collingwood to win. It's so easy to look at that and be like, that was to try and shift momentum of the game.
And it did.
And it did. But, Tom.
What?
What did Collingwood run into for the last 5 minutes of the game?
Oh, just an orange wall.
Stoppage after stoppage after stoppage after stoppage.
This has to be, in my opinion, one of the greatest midfield efforts and coaching strategies to send the runner out there or to get the message out there that, right, we've got 3 minutes to go. The way Collingwood have set up is that we have no one out there. If we kick the ball out and we turn it over, we're fucked. It's coming straight back in with interest and possibly a goal.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to just neutralize it, repeat defensive stoppages. However, if we lose one stoppage, we're fucked. What an amazing coaching thing to be like, I believe in my midfielders to neutralize every single stoppage and win this game.
That's a wide
fucking Herculean.
A wide open window.
And
that's amazing.
I'm glad that Ross Lyon, well, actually, I'm sad that Ross Lyon had been fired because this kind of defensive play would have made him come so hard he would have fucking died anyway.
Probably did. He probably
good. I hope he's dead. Anyway.
Well, do you know why they played that great strategy? You know who their midfield coach is?
Who?
Lenny Hayes.
Oof.
I don't need to praise him.
Not as good though as their other coach, Eamon Buchanan, who when they won was flipping like the crowd off and going, fuck you.
Loved
fuck
it.
You.
Loved it.
So that's all well and good. However, there is one play in particular that sums up why I love the Giants, and it is Shane Mummy Mumford selling candy in the goal square to Scott Pendlebury.
Sold him a sausage, Tom.
Oh, sold him 24 fucking sausages.
I've had 18 of these. You can have one.
He literally
took courage.
Pendlebury is the kind of player who that is his bread and butter. Like he moves at a different level to other people. He reads the play well, and he got sold candy by fucking big lumbering man mountain Shane Mumford.
I asked Phil Davis about this on radio today,
yeah.
And he just said, he asked Mummy about it. He goes, what were you thinking? He goes, oh, I just wasn't thinking. And he goes, you should try that more often. That was huge.
It was brilliant. Just that it was almost like he knew – I mean, he said he wasn't thinking, but he would know that Pendlebury was hoping. Because what he was doing is you could see Pendlebury's aim wasn't necessarily to take possession, but to possibly just the kick comes out, hits Pendlebury's hand, and his foot was out ready to go facing the goal square. That is such a Pendlebury thing to do too.
Yep.
And Mummy was like, whoop, nah, fuck you.
Amazing. Oh. Match winning.
I can't wait for him to kill someone next week because it's his last game.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing though. He has triggered another year in his deal. Did you hear that this week?
He looks cooked.
Yeah, well, he absolutely does. I don't think he'll keep playing.
Because Sam Jacobs is going there, right?
Sam Jacobs, apparently. He could Alistair Lynch the entire team. He's the most dangerous man in Australia.
The man with 100 fists, and they're all coming for fucking
Richmond.
And
they're all in his chest.
He's got better accuracy than Lynch.
So he's a huge man, right? Mm. He weighs 130 kilos, and he's 202 centimetres. And he is all chest. Fuck, he's a big man.
Oh, someone's going to die on the field.
I can't wait. Stevenson's going to be like, oh, and he's literally just coming and be like, B didn't see this coming. Bang.
God.
Can't wait.
God, if
we're... Oh, wait, Stevenson. Nah, he's gone.
Not Stevenson. That happened last weekend.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
It's just, it's so, so, so funny that GWS, a team constructed by the AFL, 10 years into existing, have knocked out what would have been the most profitable grand final the AFL has seen in
probably ever.
Joe, you know I love. They've gone rogue. They've gone, hey, Gil, I'm the captain now.
It's like, it's fucking Darth Sidious fucking killing Plagueis.
Yeah. Is Gil's Darth Plagueis the wise?
It's fucked.
No, it's better than that because
it's Vader.
Darth Sidious is it's Vader throwing the Emperor into the Death Star because. The Giants are the heels who took out the bigger villain in Eddie. Yeah. I will say this. a How Good's Footy moment for the week, because it was bleak on Friday. Someone on Twitter posted an amazing photo being like, this is for all those people who say that, the Giants supporters are fake supporters. I've watched this man sob for a minute after siren. He was in all his Giants gear, just crying into his phone. And then, you know what? Fucking good on him. It's hard to back as an expansion club because everyone thinks you just don't care. People complaining about, oh, they don't have any history. Well, yeah, this is how they get it.
Yeah. The supporters love them.
I love it.
We'll be part of that.
You know why, guys? Because there's a big, big sound coming from the west of the town.
I love their song. It's the Never Surrender bit. Oh.
Because it's not just, we will never surrender. It's, we will never surrender.
It's great. Can't wait to sing it.
Guys, two best songs in the AFL.
Going head to head in grand final. Oh, you know what's going to be huge? So the end of the game, there's either going to be a yellow and black or a
very quiet,
never surrender. You think it'll be quiet. Remember last year when we got there and we thought, oh, Richmond's going to outnumber West Coast.
Collingwood,
sorry. Yeah.
Grand final too. It's pretty even actually because, yeah.
It will be. It'll probably be 50-50.
No, there's a lot of Richmond MCC members.
Okay.
But fuck, it was funny when we were like, oh God, this is going to be loud. Collingwood was loud. And then West Coast came out. It was like the loudest thing ever. Mm. Then Collingwood came out and it was not as loud. And you could also hear West Coast supporters booing over the top of it.
I loved it.
Two things. It's Brownlow night currently. So by the time you're hearing this, it absolutely has already happened. So this will be dated instantly.
It's going to be amazing when Robbo wins the Brownlow. And we've called it on this show first.
Nick Robertson?
No. For that like one game.
Three games or something.
He gets 11 votes per game.
Yeah.
And wins in a canter.
Who's going to win, Tom?
Look,
top three.
I think Dangerfield. I think he's back half of the year. He'll poll votes in games where you might not expect him to just because he's Dangerfield. But his back half of the year is really strong.
Tim Kelly won't steal votes?
Early maybe, but he dropped off a bit. But also, I wouldn't be surprised if Danger stole votes where you think Kelly's going to get him.
Sure.
My top three, though, is probably Danger. I think Fife's good, but I just don't think Freo won enough games. So I'm going to go Danger, Cripps.
Well, look, Carlton didn't win enough games.
So Danger, Neil, Cripps.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go
Bontempelli fourth.
I'm going to go Neil, Danger, Bont.
That's exactly the same as my three.
Neil, Danger, Bont?
Neil, Danger, Bont.
See, the thing about Bont is he's also got like guys like McRae and Dunkley, which won't help him.
Yeah, Neil, I mean, Neil's probably only got Zorko.
And maybe a Cameron when he's kicked like
the occasional bag. Cameron, Lyons, and McCluggage, probably.
Huge.
Imagine Robbo gets one. Toby Green to win the Norm Smith and also get suspended for 3 weeks.
I think Green to win the Norm Smith, get suspended for 5 weeks and kick 4 goals. And Giants to win.
GWS to win, Mummy to get the Norm Smith, and also to be banned from football indefinitely.
Yep. Hopefully we find Mummy after the game. Have 100 years.
Might be hard to find. Be like, where's the nearest butchers?
Why don't
sausage chisel?
We can go to prison and bail him out.
Hey, what do you mean bail? We can go to prison and break him out.
We can just go to prison with him.
We'll probably meet him in there.
Hey, mate.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, Dusha.
Yes, Tom.
Hey, Dusha.
Yes, Tom.
Hey, Dusha, have we got any emails?
Yes, Tom.
Good.
We got heaps. Inbox is absolutely firing this week.
Man, I didn't even peek. That's bullshit. This sound system's a lot better.
Yeah. All right. This is an email from Q.
The whole suburb.
No, just the letter.
From James Bond.
Dear professors of footy, I'm a long-time listener, first time writing in. Though I have never seen a game of footy in person, I've had a fantastic time listening to you guys talk about a sport you were so evidently passionate about. Until last week, the qualifying finals. So this email came in just after we recorded last week's episode.
Yep.
I was listening to Carney talk about Brisbane's loss to Richmond and looked up. This next part is not a joke. I had been walking through a sculpture museum and I looked up to see a large statue of a lion. That hurt a bit. And I started to walk away, only to hear a crash. The lion statue had fallen over.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Hang in there, boys. Footy will bounce back. The window's not closed unless you're Geelong. Last year, or Melbourne this year. Get it together. All the best. Q. P.S. Dusha, Carney, and Tom, who might want to stand for this one. You're all amazing. Up the Bombers, up the Lions, and up the Cats. Ross Lyon got fired from his job, so start getting the solar cannon ready, because some men were just meant to be fired into the sun.
Oh.
Thanks, Q.
Thanks, Q.
Worth noting, Tom didn't stand up for that.
Well, no.
I can't believe the lion crashed.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
That museum would have gone into meltdown over that.
Far. Just talking
how
about,
old it was.
Talking about standing up,
yeah.
The two Tim Kelly girls on the run, I stood for and I nearly fainted both times.
So you should have.
Got so lightheaded. It was good. But I didn't fall over. I just stood there and like the whole G went blurry and then came back into focus. And I was like, that was close, Tom.
Your dad was probably like, nearly lost you, mate.
This is from Amelia. This is a bit of an interesting email. Okay. The subject is Hungry Jack's chip review.
Oh.
Hello, boys. I have nothing constructive to add to the footy conversation this week. However, I do have a chip experience, and she's thrown a TM after that, and chip experience is capitalized.
I like that
a lot. We're going to steal that.
They'll never be able to guess where we got it from.
Nah.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Chip experience. Fuck. Well, our next beanie, instead of saying how good, we'll just say chips.
Chippies.
The beanies are still available, by the way. And we've seen some floating around at the footy. So if you head to sanspenceradio.com, you can buy a beanie. That was a weird time for a plug. Sorry for wrecking your email, Amelia, but I did forget to mention that at any point in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, sure. No, it's good. We are professional.
So Amelia wants to share this chip experience. The Hungry Jack's where I lived is bad. When I was in primary school, Mum took my brother and I there through the drive-through to get some chips. When we received said chips, there was a fair few that were green. Not tinged green, green. Mum vowed never to go back, and I never thought to go back.
You don't want a green chip.
For the last 10 years, I've lived believing that KFC chips were the best. Macca's fries win when dipped in a thick shake, but I'm sorry, what? Okay, this sounds insane, but I totally get it. It's like a sweet and salty thing.
Have you done it before?
Have you done it?
I might have only done it once or twice. It's not for me.
Got an Macca's.
On the way.
Pause the email.
We're going to go for a drive.
Get some chippies in it. What is it? A thick shake?
Yeah. People do it at the movies sometimes. They bite into their chalk top and then dip it into the popcorn so the popcorn's stuck to the ice cream.
Okay, so look, I get that because I often do Maltesers into popcorn.
It's the same thing. It's a sweet and salty.
Now I want to go to the
Just
movies.
Just quickly on thick shakes, I do think Hungry Jack's has a better thick shake than McDonald's.
And so you do
better chips.
What you do?
So this combination...
Oh. Sean,
yeah.
I know where we're going for dinner after recording.
Far out. Sorry to derail the email. Continue.
Wow. Sorry. So yeah. So Amelia loves the Macca's fries dipped in a thick shake, but she's more fond of a thicker cut chip than a classic fry.
Yep.
However, today, everything changed.
Oh.
I was in the city and feeling awful after a boring 2-hour lecture about statistics. Who cares? Not me. And then, as I was heading back to the station, I spotted a Hungry Jack's.
Did you do the math, Amelia, and did you go Hungry Jack's? Yes.
If you're from Melbourne, Amelia, I know exactly what Hungry Jack's you're talking about. That would be the Southern Cross Station Hungry Jack's. A Hungry Jack's that has been the beacon of my drunken nights out before, because I used to go to a club that was on that same street, and that Hungry Jack's is open 24 hours. So as I was like blindly walking to the train station, there's just Hungry Jack's. I'm like, food. I remembered your very passionate endorsement of the HJ chips from a week or two ago. And I also remember that their chips are $2. As a broke uni student, $2 is pretty convincing. And so I bought the said $2 chips. I wasn't expecting much and was more focused on getting across the road when I took my first bite. Fellas.
I've been hit by a car.
These chips are the bomb.
Oh,
they're so crunchy, but also soft on the inside. And the chicken salt situation that's happening is amazing. I stopped in the middle of the road for a hot second. It was crazy. These are the best fast food chips I've ever had. Maybe the best chips I've ever had.
Whoa.
So thank you for the recommendation. I cannot believe I've gone this long without knowing how good they are. They are absolutely what I'll be snacking on grand final day. How good? Amelia.
Can I say, do you know what I like to imagine happened? We've all seen Ratatouille. You know when Anton Ego eats the Ratatouille and then like you go back to his childhood? I reckon she bit into that chip and went back to the childhood where she ate the green chips, and that memory blew up into a thousand pieces.
Fuck.
Oh, gross. Chips for days.
Great email.
All right. Next email is from Moritz, all the way from Germany.
Oh.
Boys.
Guten Tag. It's all my Germany.
Well done. All your Germany. Yep. Well done.
Did I stutter?
First of all, sorry, Tom, for having your premiership window shut after such a stellar season. I'm pretty sure the only thing standing in your way to win the prelim was Chris Scott jinxing your success with a classic comment filled with typical Geelong arrogance.
It's true.
It's a good call.
At least Collingwood lost.
It was very funny, though.
At least Collingwood lost as well. On another note, you shouted out a legend called Luke in last episode who won the Coaches Award for Wimbledon Hawks. Incidentally, his team will be playing in the European Championships in London in 2 weeks, which is where I will also be attending as part of the German national team.
What the fuck?
This is the biggest thing to ever happen to Haggard's
team. This is huge.
After only 2 games in the German league, so I'm pretty sure I'm fucked. Naturally, I think it would be pretty fun to celebrate the Haggard's footy spirit together there, so could you maybe link us up? Cheers and thanks, Moritz.
So, Luke, you listen to this. Moritz, you listen to this. Fuck, I hope they play on one another. If you guys end up playing on one another, can you swap jerseys at the end of the game?
Far out.
If you play off in the champion, in the decider, swap jerseys at the end of the game.
Yeah, Luke, just email us, letting us know if it's cool. And if it is, we'll pass on your details. You guys can hang out, talk about how good's footy. How good's footy.
That's so how good.
That's awesome.
All right, and then we have two things that are a direct response to something that I asked for last week.
Okay.
Which was, I was like, look, can someone just like write us a poem or something? We got two.
Oh, hello.
So this is from a recent emailer also, Sean O'Willow.
Sean O.
You wanted a poem.
Or Willow. Whichever you prefer.
Nah, it's Sean O'Willow. It's like Prince, but with two names.
Yeah.
So like a normal person.
And this is the poem. There's a great fucking podcast. It's the total fucking shiz about the great game of footy asking how good it is.
Brilliant.
There's a Cats fan, a Lions fan, and a Bombers fan too. And occasionally a wrestler or a swan joins the crew.
Oh, this is great.
They talk with passion about forwards, backs, and flankers. And they never hold back when they talk of the wankers. When there's been a good week, they celebrate with roast. And when it all goes to shit, they mung on their toast. The finals came along and it was hugs all round. All their teams made the 8, won at the wrong ground.
Oh,
very good.
That is very good.
It was a hard round to swallow in week number 1. 3 losses suffered, douches, bombers, all done. Then the semi struck hard, Connor's Lions complete. It was only 3 points, but a giant defeat.
Oh, that hurts, but it's very good.
Then Tom's Cats had the Tigers lined in their sight, but some semi-finals pressure couldn't keep up the fight. So has Terrence packed away the roasting pan until the Whoa, hang on. I don't know if this line works. So has Terrence packed away the roasting pan until the next footy cycle and Sally puts two slices in, the old Fisher and Paykel?
Now that line does work.
We reflect on a season of laughs, cheer and hoots and making fun of Gil in his oversized suits. But it will be heavy hearts on grand final day watching two other teams run out and play. It's a patient wait till more footy fun when the girls run out in the February sun.
Nice.
But no matter the score and through good and bad luck, when people ask how good's footy, it's always good as fuck.
Oh, yes.
Brilliant.
That is. Oh, do you know what?
Poetry.
That's better than the grand final.
Oh, bloody
at up. This grand final, I mean, because.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, Sean.
Yeah.
One of our.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I like how I was like, if one of our, because.
Far out. Shauno.
Shauno.
Shauno Willow.
Shauno Willow. The Willow is actually short for William Shakespeare.
Shauno William Shakespeare.
Oh.
Oh. Shauno Willow Shaco.
Spiro. Shaco Spiro.
Far out.
What a poem.
What a.
So good. I cooked the last line a little bit. And look, that's on me. That gets the best writing Oscar, but unfortunately, acting. Could have been a little better.
Yeah, you won a
didn't
Razzie.
Even get nominated for acting.
Shauno Willow got the Oscar. You got the Razzie.
Jesus!
imagine a film winning an Oscar and a Razzie in the same year. Has that ever happened?
No, it never.
One
will.
Film hasn't, but Halle Berry won Best Actress.
Actually,
separate films.
Suicide Squad won an Oscar. Surely it won a Razzie.
Was it up for? Was it up for a Razzie?
Sure,
we definitely.
We can absolutely look into this.
Did it win though?
Probably not.
Damn.
But yeah, Halle Berry in the same year won for Monsters Ball and lost and won the Razzie for Catwoman.
There's other
actors
done
it
too.
Yeah, she went to the Razzies in person after being at the Oscars the night before.
It's the other way around. The Razzies are the night before.
Oh, okay. My mistake.
But still, good on her.
Yeah. So this is from Sam. Hey guys, just wanted to let you know as a Sydney supporter that if Papley leaves, I reckon it would be worse than Boddy leaving. I would be seriously devastated without Papley. I hate to pick on Tom, but I just think that it's crazy that you guys give Hawkins a pass all the time for just punching people.
I mean, however, I don't.
However.
He costs us a prelim.
I go after him. He's a fuckwit. He's a big dumb idiot.
Needs to stop doing it.
However.
I'll ask for his membership.
However.
Yes.
That's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about when Dusha says, write a poem. I say, can it be a rap? So this... So here it is. This I can't imagine is very good. I'm neither a poet nor a rapper, but what is a man to do when they have an hour lunch break? But this. Tom, how's your rapping skills?
Ugh, garbage, let's go.
All right.
Oh, man, okay. Whoa, okay. Okay, yeah, here we go. All right, some rapping. Jesus
You
Christ.
Could probably talk through it like a poem.
So Esther got done drugs and many, a list piffed, banned and battered, heard no longer a golden boy, no longer flattered, despite it relentless within the decade contenders. Sadly, they were what Barrett or now Tom called pretenders. Yet a list that reminds you of a group of debt collectors to reflect the petrifying might be the underlying understatement. Brisbane couldn't help it, from bottom four to the mightiest roar. 15 years in the gutter, TCs are many, but one too many tipped it. Dane thought to have left them lame, reignited a flame, initiated a new reign, but unfortunately the night, the final fight, the kiss of death, the green burnt them in the end. Now let's look at an unlikely friend. Who would rather spend their time with a land of borders instead of slave on heart supporters? Instead of slave on heart supporters, Tom, a guy who would have way too many quarters. For every time he's consistently, constantly consistent team, nevertheless united over a love and a hate that goes above, a love of a beautiful sport, a beautiful goal, a beautiful spud. But there's only one wood that gets blood boiling, only one fathead close to spoiling, only one that stood in the way, Collingwood thrown in the bin today.
Oh!
Yeah!
Wow! Beautifully written and beautifully performed.
Thanks. I'm basically Eminem.
Yeah, that was powerful. That was a powerful way to end this week's episode.
Far out.
And if you want to send us raps, poems,
chip reviews,
reviews of chip reviews, actually, Thick Shake chip reviews, then you can send us an email at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com or you can find us on Twitter at howgoodsfooty or individually. I'm at Awkward Treed.
I'm at Psychic of Dowie.
And I'm at Douche13. And if you're at the grand final this weekend, please email us. We'll hang out after the game, have a drink or something. We will be absolutely steaming and wearing Giants gears, so get ready.
Well, no, Sean won't be there because he's been kicked out for wearing high-vis.
Woo!
Woo!
Go, Toby.
Studs up!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.